wait for the roar. Carlton are home! Carlton hold on for just their second win of the season. The old dark navy blue win by four.
Super impressive performance by the old dark navy blue. Good call there from Tonsils and Brad Green, assistant coach, development coach of the Blues. Would have been punching the air as well, I imagine, after that game. He joins us on the coach's box. G'day, Greeny.
Good afternoon, Harf. How are you going?
Very well, thank you, mate. Were you punching the air?
Oh, mate, it was quite nerve-wracking in the box there for that last 5 or 10 minutes. But, yeah, it was terrific for the club and for the players to get a result and get a win on Saturday afternoon at the MCG. It was great.
What's been the turnaround? We saw you against Sydney in the week after Mick had departed and Johnny took over. And then the Adelaide game, you were terrific as well. Probably should have won that game in the end. And then this. We get this game against Port Adelaide. Now, they're not the world beaters that they perhaps, or we perhaps thought they would be this season. But you still had to beat a really good team on the day and you're coming from a long way back. What's the difference, Brad?
Yeah, I'm just seeing that the players are enjoying the footy. It was sort of one of those starts of the year where you think the whole world's against you, and there's the pressure that was on the whole club with everything that was going on. I think released over the last few weeks, and they're playing like they're 18 again. They're playing with enjoyment. They're playing with a bit of fun, and we've tried to create that environment over the last couple of weeks just to get out there and get back enjoying their footy again And they did on the weekend. I thought, our tackling pressure and our style of play was certainly up there with the best that I've seen in the 3 years that I've been here.
Which is great to hear and great to see it, more importantly for Carlton fans who have been through a bit in the last little while, as you would well know. The tension and the stress at the start of the season and or through the first 6 weeks, I suppose, we often talk about players and the fact that what happens outside the ground or the white line on the day is not really affecting the players. Did you see it start to affect the players?
Yeah, I've been in a situation, certainly at my old club at Melbourne, where you say it doesn't, but I reckon in the end it does. Only by the sense of everyone wants to talk about it. AFL footy, Melbourne, radio, papers, friends, family, everybody. And you're trying to get away from it, but you can't. Mm. So it's certainly... from a mental perspective, it's a big challenge. And for our guys, I reckon it was a big weight on their shoulders that they were trying to carry and get out there and do the right thing. But eventually it weighs you down in such a close comp that AFL footy is. You need everything going right for you.
You've got a couple of young guns coming through. Lots talked about Patrick Cripps, and fair enough too, the way he's been performing, and an outright favourite for the NAB Rising Star, which is a terrific feather in his cap at this stage of his career. But another young fellow who's been on the list for a couple of years now, I think, Nick Graham, really started to blossom in the last 3 or 4 weeks. Tell me about Nick, and where do you think his career could go?
Yeah, Nick Graham's your traditional country Gippsland power boy that is ready for, he's your backyard Kevin Sheedy plumber. He's the guy that wants to get his hands dirty. He's not overly blessed with speed, but he'll get his hands dirty, get in and under, can play inside, and he's got smarts to play as a high half forward coming up. So he's certainly one of those, a traditional old-style footballer that I see Nick Graham playing.
At the other end of the spectrum is your captain, Mark Murphy. He looked to be carrying the weight of the world on his shoulders at the start of the season. Last 3 games, he's been awesome. He's been back to his devastating best. Another 29 possessions on the weekend. More importantly for me, 6 tackles. He must be enjoying the fact that there is not as much focus on his footy club or his form in the last month or so.
Yeah, and, I thought he was best on ground nearly against Adelaide Crows the week before.
Yeah, he
had 36 and 11 clearances or whatever, but he's led the way, and that leadership group's sort of taken it upon themselves, and they thought devastated for Mick and the way it all happened, and I think they're getting out there playing and representing him the best they can. So Murph is certainly leading by example, and you talked about Patrick Cripps. I thought, Cripps certainly is one of those kids that you look at and you certainly in the coach's box going, wow, how good's this kid going to be? So yeah, there's some positive signs there for our boys.
Do you give yourself measurements now to deem a successful season, or do you just sort of fly by the seat of your pants, so to speak, from that point of view, and just let them play and see where it takes you?
Well, I think as every club sort of sets their goals again from mid-season, we looked at our statistics over the first half of the year and where we could improve and get better. And, you know, there was, we're certainly looking at the second half of the year of improvement. Our club had to get better in a lot of areas, and we'll take small increments in that to the second half and hopefully just weed away at those little things that, that JB and the coaching staff's going to do.
What have you made of Johnny Barker's performance at the helm? Did you expect him to be able to step up and have the impact he has, or is this a bit of a surprise?
No, he's been a look. He's an experienced assistant coach. He's been around the system, you know, 8 or 9 years now, and has been coaching under Ross Lyon, Alistair Clarkson, and Nick. And certainly, he's learned a lot off all three. So, yeah, he's an experienced man. JB, he's stepped into the role really well. And as everyone knows, Johnny's a real people person. I think the players are really relishing that from him.
He's a good man, Johnny Barker's obviously doing a hell of a job there with the Blues at this stage. He did have a bit of an incident on the weekend, and Bryce Gibbs is now serving a 2-week penalty for his tackle on Robbie Gray. What did you make of that? Were you concerned at the time that he might be serving some time?
Look, it's certainly, you know, you look at the Matty Maguire stuff, and he had to retire off concussion. So yeah. It's certainly nothing that, you know, we see as a industry that we don't want to see people get hurt and go off the ground with concussion. But, you know, it's a rule, and certainly the rule's there. But I don't like to see a rule with an outcome. You know, if Robbie Gray was fine with it, I think you'd definitely see Bryce Gibbs playing. And he goes through probably 5 or 6 of our tackles on the weekend. I think they could have been looked at if further things happen. But look, they're the rules, and we're going to play by the rules.
So when you're coaching tackling, are you, you know, obviously not trying to coach the sling, but do you try and find other ways for the players to get them to ground quicker? Because that's the idea, obviously, to try and get them to ground, pin the arms, get them to the ground. There's obviously a technique issue for Bryce on that occasion, but as you say, there's similar incidents through games. Do you teach them to try and do it a particular way?
I think, you know, because players are so strong these days and getting in the gym and the speed of our game is so fast, sometimes it's hard to sort of train the way that what you're doing, but certainly we train our players to tackle the ground, but it's not the intent to knock them out. There's no malice in that. There's just, you know, we've got to want to take the ball to ground, want to tackle ferociously, just more slow it up rather than give them the chance to get it out and open and and get them to run and carry with it. So that's more what we're talking through with them.
It's a big talking point in the game at the moment, I'm sure. What's a talking point for you guys in match committee is the Gold Coast this Sunday. What are you expecting from them?
Yeah, you know, they're coming off the bye, you know, the week off, and it looks like they're getting a few terrific players back. You're looking at, you know, Ablett, Bunnell, may get Sam May back. They've got May Thompson. So they'll get a few. Swallow could come back in. So they've got probably 5 or 6 guys that can come back into the side. And when you look at that's a very dangerous combo. And, you know, we're going to be up against it, you know, Sunday afternoon twilight at Etihad. It's going to be a big game, see our boys respond off a win. And certainly we're looking to keep our second half of the season going.
Well, I reckon on the back of your performance in the last couple of weeks, Greeny, that the Carlton fans will be out there in force as well, considering what you've been able to show in the last 3 weeks. Good luck, mate. Thanks for your time this afternoon. We'll chat to you soon.
Cheers, Arth. Have a good afternoon.
Will do. Brad Green from the Blues after the big win against the Power. Just going through the votes from the coaches, the AFL Coaches Association, for that game. Patrick Cripps, no surprises there. 10 perfect votes from both coaches. The other games on the weekend, just the other 5. Adelaide and Hawthorne, Luke Hodge with 9. Richmond and West Coast, Nick Nat with a perfect 10, and Dustin Martin, Jeremy McGovern with 7 apiece. The Giants and the Kangas, Jamie McMillan of the Kangas with 9, Toddy Goldstein with 80 hitouts with 8, and Nick Del Santo with 7. The Bulldogs and the Lions, Jake Stringer and Mitch Wallace, 8 apiece for those young gentlemen. And Geelong and Melbourne on Sunday, Bernie Vince and Jack Viney took 8 apiece in the Coaches Association Champion Player of the Year, which means the leaderboard. Disappointing week for Nat Fyfe, didn't get a vote. Didn't play, but I thought he might have snuck a few votes in the way he's been going. He still is dominant in the leaderboard, leads by 29 at the round 12 mark from Dan Hannanbury, 90 to 61. Matt Prittis on 48, Todd Goldstein rockets into equal fourth with 45. Scott Pendlebury joining him on that number.